But given the truth of that proposition, and I think it is clearly true, the only debate is how much, but that it's basically true is absolutely clear. So then you have an interesting phenomenon in the other direction, which is not as often spoken about or appreciated. Namely, if im kvar az kvar, as they say in, you know, in Hebrew, if already we concede that the piersum, that the impact on others, is a critical part of this mitzvah, so then why do we find opposite phenomena as well? Why do we find that sometimes we're absolutely adamant about the integrity of the Maisa mitzvah, even when there will be impact, piersum, without it? If we're already conceding that there's a component to piersum a mitzvah, so why are the details of the Maisa mitzvah, or how can they ever stand on their own, and how can they ever deny the piersum component? So I'll just give you a couple of quick examples, since I don't want to belabor the point. Birchas HaRoeh. We say Sha'asa Nisim La'Bosein. So as I say, sometimes we focus on the fact that it's Avel HaSiyasan, that the Hadlaka is incomplete without it, and so on. But what about the other side of this story? Which is, how come we sometimes ignore, or appear to ignore, the exigencies of Birchas HaRoeh? Because of the Hadlaka, let's say you're working late, or not, hopefully not too late, but, you know, a little bit late, and before you get home to light Neros Hanukkah, so you see many menorahs. Right, so the general psak is, you don't make the Birchas HaRoeh first. Since you know that you're going home to light, you don't make the bracha. But that's problematic. You need to explain why that is. After all, you already had the, if this is about the experience, and the experience in its own right stands as a kiyum, so why should you delay? Right? Normally, from a reason point of view, why should you delay? So good, when you come home, you'll make the lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Okay? But why can't you make the Sha'asa Nisim right now? This is a reason issue. If you've already experienced it, maybe you can't take it later on. There are all sorts of issues that you could raise. Moreover, more controversial psak, discussion in the Rishonim. Let's say you're not going to be able to light at all. They're lighting for you at home. They're lighting for you at home. Are you supposed to say Birchas HaRoeh? So one would have thought, absolutely. You may not be able to light, but this is the only time that you're going to encounter the experience of seeing the Neros Chanukah on this night. So because technically and legally and formally somebody's lighting on your behalf at home, that has any impact on the Roeh? It's one thing to say, listen, I'm going to have the experience, I'm going to withhold my experience till I can combine it and integrate it with the Hadlaka. It's quite something else if I'm not going to experience it personally at all, and you're going to say, still you don't make a Birchas HaRoeh. That's a Machlokas HaRishonim. It's very strange. There are other such phenomena as well. Most poskim think, the Rambam, most Rishonim think, that the shemen that has to be in the Nair has to be there b'shas hadlaka. Sudeyas and Shulchan Aruch. Why? If it's really Ad Shetichel Regem Lashuk and it's more about Persumei Nisa, so let's say you have a little there b'shas hadlaka and you're going to add more afterwards, assuming it's not an issue of, Safek Bracha, and, you know, we're worried that you're not going to do it. If it's not a technical question, why dafka do you have to have the full shiur? Is mana hadlaka? In other words, or I'll give you, in terms of Birchas HaRoeh, again, another example. A couple of years ago when I was here on Hanukkah, so I spoke much about Rav Elvel's view about Mahadrin, and Rabbi Kiveger's tshuva. Rabbi Kiveger discusses the problem. What if you already lit at least one of the Neros Hanukkah, and then, but you didn't say the bracha. Is it overlast? Is there a problem of then call the brachas v'archalim overlast yasan or not? So Rabbi Kiveger has a very important tshuva on the topic. So one of the things he says is, listen, the whole discussion has to be about lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. But as far as the Birchas HaRoeh is concerned, that certainly you should be able to say even after you began lighting. Even if you finished lighting, you should be able to say b'di'evet. Either Amos says that bracha, Birchas HaRoeh, is supposed to be made in advance, over Lasiyasa. Not all Rishonim agree, but that's the view of the Ramah. He says, yeah, that's Lechatchila. But it can't be Diab. He says, Lo Garab, Mimi Sharoah, Veinam Adlik. But it's not so simple. Not so simple, certainly not according to the Ramah. It's possible that if you do not light, but you see someone else's candles and you know no one's lighting for you, then you make a Birchas Haroah. And if you're lighting and you lit already and you didn't say the bracha, if you were to assume that you can't make the bracha because it's after Ovelas Yasa, it's possible that that would affect not only Birchas Lahadlik Ner Shulchanuka, but Birchas Haroah as well. So how could it be, if you would disagree with Rabbi Knieger, maybe the Ramah would be not l'chatchila, but b'diavad. So how could that be? How could the Birchas Haroah, if there is this phenomenon of Pirsumei Nisa, how could it be held hostage to the Hadlaka, frankly? And this is the issue that we find in other contexts as well. At minimum, we find that the Hadlaka is viewed in its own right, even outside the context of Pirsumei Nisa. I already mentioned the need for the shear of the Shemen to be full at the time of the Hadlaka. The discussion about whether the concept of ketute mechta chiure applies to shemen shalbasa v'chalav or some other isra'an. Normally we say that that you can't use for a mitzvah an object that that is supposed to be burnt. It's like lulav shalashera has no shiur, ketute mechta chiure, it's supposed to be burnt. So what about using shemen shalbasa v'chalav or some other, or kelaya karen, whatever it is, for Neres Chanukah? That's a lively, interesting discussion. What's the point? The point is as follows. When you need a formal shiur, so then the principle is that ketute mechta chiure. Something's omid lisrof, it doesn't have a shiur. But as the Kesel Mishnah points out, where you need a practical shiur, there probably is no concept of ketute mechta chiure. There's a famous Kesel Mishnah who explains that when you have a sandal, shal chalitza, that's made out of that comes from an asherah, he says, it's not a problem. Because the important thing is, do you have something on your foot? Somebody looks at your foot. Do you have the chalitza shoe on your foot or not? It's a practical shear, not a formal shear. So there's a discussion about Neiros Chanukah, but it's a fascinating discussion. Meaning, is the shear of Atcha Tichol Regal Min Ashuk and so on a formal shear? In which we say Ketute Mechta Shiur, or is it a Pirsumei Nisa? We want it to burn. The people walking by, do they see that it's burning? Is it burning Atcha Tichol Regal Min Ashuk? What do you mean there's no shear? So how do we justify the view that says that these are hardcore Maisa Mitzvah objective? Im Kvar Az Kvar, if already Pirsumei Nisa is so much part of this Mitzvah, then why the Kepeda on the formality and the legality of it? And of course, it also expresses itself in other issues. You come home very late and there's no one out in the street. Right, so that's Machlokas HaRishon. The Rambam says that if it's past Atcha Tichol Regel Min Ashuk, you shouldn't be madlik. The Bali Tosa say you should be madlik, 2 days in the Gemara, you should be madlik, but since it's 2 days in the Gemara, mistake it, don't make a bracha. The Tur seems to indicate that you make a bracha as well. Right? And we have the same kind of question, Bizmanenu, where we light inside, and say the Bnei Bayis are asleep when you come home, or you live alone. What do you do? It's a big machlokas haposkim. So if Pirsumei Nisa is already part of this mitzvah, to the extent that it's a rule break, allows it to be mafsik, because it isn't really a hefsik. The Pirsum is part of it. So im kvar az kvar, why not say that everything is measured, and some poskim do? But according to the ones who don't, how could Birchas Haroah be held hostage to the legal formal requirements of Hadlaka? And how could there be legal formal Hadlaka, which is separate from Pirsum, if this is what Hadlaka Sneiros Chanukah is all about? But I think that the answer is connected to what I'm trying to suggest, which is it's not just a question of spiritual survival, physical survival. Specifically, the issue is the issue that is captured in microcosm by the nace of the Pach Shemen. I mean, it's precisely about reintegrating in Jewish life Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. So from that point of view, the Pirsum on the one hand, both aspects of the dialectic are necessary. The Pirsum is necessary because that is the Hodah of a Hallel. Right? It's not only that you're allowed, it's not a Heter. You can say Hanei Ros Halalu and sing it. You can do that in the middle because it's not a Hefsik. Especially according to the Rambam. The Neiros are Hallel of the Hodah. And you can say Sh'asa Nisim Lavoseinu over Lasi Yasan, because indeed, it's not related only to the Milchama, and not even only to the Pach Shemen as a Nes. It's related to all, to the total picture. she'asan nisim lavoseinu, over lasiyasan. But at the same time, it would be inconsistent to ignore the demands of the objective legal formal maisa mitzvah. Because what was the whole point? What is the whole point of the halal v'hodah? The reintegration of objective legal formal maisa mitzvahs. So on the one hand, you have the this particular mitzvah is a vehicle for hodah v'halal, unlike other maisa mitzvahs. On the other hand, it has to have its own integrity safeguarded, because without that, what's the point of making this the focal point of the halal v'hodah? The very reason that there is pirsum and there are subjective components is the reason that the objective components have to be guarded. So even Birchas HaRoeh, which is about the experience of the pirsum, I think, is held hostage, at least according to some Rishonim, by the proper fulfillment of the objective Maisa Mitzvah. So you're not going to make the bracha when you see it if you're going home to be madlik. You may not even make the bracha because you don't want to separate from the Maisa Mitzvah. If they're able to be motzi you at home in the hanlok as well, then that includes the pirsum and the halal and the hodah. And by the same token, if you were madlik neiros Chanukah, but you didn't make the bracha lahadlik neir shel Chanukah, but you did make the bracha, now you want to make the bracha of sha'asa nisim, maybe we could argue with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I don't mean halacha l'maisa. I mean, you know, you could choose Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but at least theoretically, well, would there be such an issue? Is it as obvious as Rabbi Akiva Eiger puts it? Is it lo gara miroeh? Maybe it is gara miroeh. Because the point is that here you did the hadlaka, and yet you didn't integrate the pirsum with the hadlaka. So the message of having a pirsum which is separate from the hadlaka is problematic. From this point of view, we can understand something else. The bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So I mentioned this a moment ago, there's a huge machlokes rishonim. Since the Gemara says, we're not sure whether hachatich l'regel min hashuk is a shir on the shemen, or it's halacha in how long it has to burn and be witnessed. So Bali Tosa say, you know what? It's a mitzvah drabanan, and therefore you should do it midrabanan misafek, but you should make the bracha. That's the psak of Bali Tosa. But the Rambam says you don't do it at all. There's no hadlaka at all after hachatich l'regel min hashuk. That's separate from the question of what constitutes hachatich l'regel min hashuk v'zmaneinu. That's a different issue. But the Torah doesn't hold that way. The Torah seems to say that you make the bracha. He says, L'cha t'chila j'techa rega melashuk, tafrei shayin beis. But b'dieved, you can make the bracha even afterwards. Kol alayla. There's one line in the Torah, Beinu Tam, quoted in the Torah, it's quoted a little bit differently, that is manena that we light indoors, we don't care about the zmanim anymore. It's not clear what he means. We don't care about the zmanim of the people outside, but we do care about the b'nei bayis inside, right? Or we don't care about the zmanim, period, anymore. I'll get back to that in just a second. But in any case, the Torah's view, which is that the d'eved you could light even after tichla regel min hashuk. So the question is why? I mean, there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, in Hilchos Chanukah, in Hilchos Milah, in Hilchos Sukkah. If you have a mitzvah drabanan, and you have a safek about it, so the Rambam says, you always do the mitzvah, but you never do the bracha. The Ravid disagrees. But according to the Rambam, u'dinei, sounds like this is a classical case. Namely, it's a mitzvah drabanan, neiros Chanukah. There's a safek in the Gemara what the psak is. So you probably shouldn't make the bracha. You should do it, but you shouldn't make the bracha. Like the Bali Tosa say in Kavala Fuli Beis. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Sefer Moruk Tzia, he has a remarkable line. He says, maybe birchas lahadlik ner shel Chanukah is different than other birchas mitzvah. Another birchas mitzvah, whenever you have a safek and it's a drabanan, so you do the maisa and you drop the bracha. But he says, when it comes to neros Chanukah, maybe the birchas mitzvah, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, is part of the mitzvah itself. Now, I have to adjust a little bit. Oh, the explanation is, therefore, if you're going to do the mitzvah, you're going to do the bracha as well. There's no separation between mitzvah and bracha when it comes to lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. The precedent for that idea is in the Rambam, actually, because I mentioned the Rambam Shita is that whenever you have a drabanan, or you have a safek, really, so you always do the ma'isa, but you drop the bracha. The Rambam's exception is in Kriyashma. Rambam says that when it comes to Kriya Shema, there you have a suffix whether you read or not, so you repeat the bracha as well. Other Nosa Kalim jump on the Rambam. The Rav used to explain that what the Rambam meant was that, you know, every other issue there's the mitzvah and then there's the bracha. And the two latest asafik, two issues, two questions on the halachic agenda. When it comes to Birchas Kriya Shema, that's part and parcel of the kiyum of Kriya Shema itself. It's not a regular Birchas HaMitzvah. Nusach is different, length is different, and so on. And therefore, it's one latest asafik. If you're going to be saying doing the mitzvah, misafik, you're going to do the bracha as well. Similar idea of Rabbi Yaakov Emden regarding Neiros Chanukah. Now, he explains why should this be so. He says, because after all, it's connected to the Birchas HaRoeh, and Pesumei Nisa. So when you say, Asher Kidsharim, Sosu Vitzivando, Lahadlik, and so on, it's connected to the Nesek Bracha too. So it's all Kiyum in the Hadlak. And therefore the idea is, even though it's a Safek, and therefore Tosus should be right, do the mitzvah, but don't do the Bracha. But here you'll do the Bracha as well, since you're doing the mitzvah. So I just like to adjust that a little bit, and say that no, maybe this is a very, very good idea. Maybe really the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah really is different than other Birchas HaMitzvah. But not because it's connected to Birchas HaRoeh. On the contrary, one of the reasons that there is a Birchas HaRoeh, and yet the Birchas HaRoeh is sometimes tied to the Birchas HaMitzvah, after all, we're making it over L'Asiyasan. What's really shaping the agenda here? It's precisely because what is the Birchas HaMitzvah? Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav Vitzivanu. The whole point of the Birchas HaMitzvah is to establish that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam is not just one of Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim. It's Kabbalah Samachos Shemayim that expresses itself in Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu. It's the concept of Tzivui, which justifies the performance, and which in turn doesn't just justify the action. It's the expression, it's the vehicle for expressing not only Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, but Kabbalah HaMalkos Shemayim. So when it comes to Chanukah, the bracha is particularly central. It's not like any other Birchas HaMitzvah. But not because of the Birchas HaRoeh. That's also the reason why we want to be mefarsim the mitzvah and there's a Birchas HaRoeh, like Tosa says, the chavivus of the mitzvah. But it's because of Lahadlik, Ner Shel Chanukah, Dafka. And maybe for this reason, though I'm totally speculating, explained before that the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, which says, how can you say Vitzivanu Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, it's only Drabanan? So the Rambam gives the answer. Well, the Gemara gives the answer, Lasasa. The Rambam quotes that Gemara not about Ner Chanukah, but about Hallel. So before I wanted to say, well, where did he get Hallel from? Maybe Lashitaso, he doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah, he puts it in the middle, he's mafsik, literally, as I say, between the Bracha and the Neiros. I'm suggesting not really, because Hallel is the theme of the Neiros. Fine. But why didn't he quote it with respect to Neiros Chanukah? And what he does with the Gemara, I don't know. But maybe because the Rambam felt that the Bracha of Lahadlik, Neir Shel Chanukah, is different than other Drabanans. Even if other Drabanans have a problem, the Heichan Sivanu, when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, because Neiros Chanukah is a proxy, if you will, it's a metaphor for the concept of Kabbalas O Mitzvos. And therefore, it's bracha, what do you mean, Heichan Sivanu? That's what the Neis Pach HaShemen, the reason that it's Hallel B'Hodah, that's what it's all about. It's because Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav B'Tzivanu. It's all because Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael L'Pikachim B'Lahem Torah Mitzvos. It's the concept of this vehicle of mitzvos that makes what happened in the Neis Pach Shemen the kind of miracle which we want to be the farsim, and which even is a vehicle for Hallel and even for Hodah. So better focus on something which is more universal drabanan, medivrei sofrim, namely Hallel, connected, but not the Neiros Chanukah itself. There's a very important question, let's end with this, I alluded to before about the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Gaonim already debate this question, whether you should have one or not, where you should put it, right, Al Pesach, Lachutz, or Dafka in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses. Machlokas Hagaon. I already mentioned the connection to mezuzah, the Sefer Manig. The Chacham Tzvi has a very famous tshuva in which he says he doesn't understand why indeed we make a bracha on the Beis HaKnesses. Well, it's only a minute b'yalma and ein mevarchen al aminag. So why do we make this bracha? So the some of the poskim point out, he asked this question against the Rivash, who paskins that we do make a bracha. So number one, some of the poskim point out that this is a question dafka for Chachmei Sfarad, and not for Chachmei Ashkenaz, because the fact is that whether you make a bracha al aminag, it's not such a simple matter. When it comes, for example, to Halil on Rosh Chodesh, this is a debate between the Chachmei Ashkenaz and the Chachmei Sfarad. The Chachmei Sfarad said, Ein Mevarchen al HaMinag. And the Bali Tosas say that we do make a bracha, and they explain why that is. So it's just very fascinating that some of the posts can say the Mokar for having a menorah and making a bracha on it in Beis HaKnesses is precisely Halel Shel Rosh Chodesh. So do they mean by that simply are certain minhagim them of Archelayim, but that's not so simple either. After all, the Gemara says Mevarchen al Minag, the Gemara says Chibut Araba, you don't make a brachon. The Bali Tosis have to contort a little bit to explain why it is that Halel on Rosh Chodesh is different. It would seem that maybe you could argue that if indeed the Neros Chanukah constitute a vehicle for Halel itself, then what we're really saying is a precedent already for a Halel, which is only a Minag, namely the Halel of Rosh Chodesh. So for Chachmei Tzarfat, it's not a problem that Mevarchin ala Menorah. That's number one. The Gra goes further. The Gra in Shulchan Aruch says that the reason that it's proper to make a bracha on the menorah in Beis HaKnesses is the same reason that it's proper to make a bracha on Halel the night of Pesach. So the link between Halel al Anes and Neros Chanukah is established clearly by the Gra. But I think it's possible to take a slightly different perspective. Number one, in addition to that, there is a concept of Halel Shel Tzibur. And if Neros Chanukah really represents Halel v'Hodah, some Rishonim, for example, are Mechalik when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, either with regard to Bracha or with respect to the question whether you say Halel at all between B'Tzibur and Al Yedei Yachid. And the fact that there are some Gonim who say that if you do have Bracha or if you have the menorah Beis HaKnesses, it shouldn't be on the outside, but it should be B'Emtza Beis HaKnesses, is surely significant as well. Namely, what we're speaking of here is the concept of Halel Shel Tzibur. Indeed, the Rav used to explain that why is it that there's a debate among the poskim, when is the appropriate time to light the candles in the Beis HaKnesses? Maybe only between Mincha Mariv, but not before, before Mariv, which is unconnected to Mincha. Big issue, of course, is last night, Motzoi, Shabbos. Right. Some people are makbid to insert it in the context of the davening itself, before Vihinoam, Reb Chaim, supposedly before Vihinoam and Shabbos Kaddish Tiskabel. Certainly before Havdalah, the Berei Hetev says before Vihitein Lecha. So the Rav once explained that maybe it's a din in the Tzibur. It's Hadlokas Neros Chanukah Shel HaTzibur. Not just Hadlokas Neros Shem Mefarsei Mesanes. And therefore you need a context which already legally and formally is B'Tzibur. I always thought that this could be relevant to another question. Do you make a hadlaka in any public place? If people go to a wedding, so should you light at the wedding? Should you light in, Times Square? Or in the White House? Or dafka in a place like a Beis HaKnesses, which al pidin is a place, right, where the Tzibur fulfills its obligations. Moreover, there's a debate, for example, in the poskim. Do you have to wait for 10 people in order to light the Beis HaKnesses? Again, it's an issue on Friday, for example. Let's say people are straggling. Do you have to wait for 10 people? So some of the poskim, including the Mishnah Berurah, paskin that you don't. They say as long as people will see it, when they come in, they'll see it, the roeh. But I'm not so sure. And our other poskim certainly disagree. Require 10 people at the time of the, it's not the impact alone, it's the lighting. Or for example, if you are lighting in shul and it's the first night, and you say Shechayanu, does that jeopardize your Shechayanu at home? What is the relationship between the lighting at home and the lighting b'tzibor? Is there a Neiros Chanukah Shel Tzibor that is separate from the Neiros Chanukah of a Yachid and so on? But I think that just to add to all of this discussion, that one can add the point along the lines that I've been suggesting. That is, that if the point of the bracha, Asher Kitcham Tzasov V'Tzivanu, is dafka to accent, this isn't just a mitzvah and a zecher for a very nice, wonderful mace. It's more than that. I say it's a proxy for the whole concept of reintegrating Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos, Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim, the very purpose of the rebellion to begin with. So number one, Asher Kitcham Tzasov, the bracha becomes very important. Can't just do the lighting without the bracha. But more than that, the idea that we would want to express this reintegration, not only on a yachid level, but on a tzibor level as well, makes perfect sense. Indeed, when we're told that there were three main mitzvos that were the focus of the gzeros, like Mila, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos. So without going into any detail, it's clear that these three, you know, are representative as well. Right? Mila, in terms of what it means to the Yachid. Shabbos, in terms of what it means universally. Being the first mitzvah in the Torah in that sense. Shavo Shavas Mikol Malachto, necessarily the first, ontologically even the first. Shavo Shavas Mikol Malachto Asher Bara Lekim La'asos, together with its universal element, for Klal Yisrael, its universal element. And then, of course, Kiddush HaChodesh, which the Torah might have begun with. And the reason the Torah might have begun with it is precisely because, right, first Rashi and Bereishis, that is the first Tzibur Maisa Mitzvah. And the idea that our religion focuses not only on belief, and not only on commitment to the Rabbanu Shalom, but one which is expressed through the vehicle of mitzvos, makes mitzvos, as opposed to Bereishis Bara Elokim even, it's kind of shocking, as the Ramban says, the appropriate place, or an appropriate place, for the Torah to have begun. And in the context of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that of course represents the Tzibur's input, and their ability to take the initiative, and even to define the world of Torah mitzvos. So in a sense, in celebrating the victory over that design to destroy Klal Yisrael spiritually by separating Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim from Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos and destroying it from within, specifically focusing on these three as representing that agenda, so the necessary response is the halal of the Hodah of the Maisa Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with its Roah component, but even its Roah component being redefined or being defined by its Hadlaka component, but not only on a Yachid level, but on a Tzibur level as well. And this indeed becomes Shevach V'Hodah, not only Shel Yachid, but Shel Tzibur. From this point of view, I think we can really appreciate that what the Rambam says is true indeed, and with this I begin. This I conclude. Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od, V'Tzarech Adam Lehizar Kedei Lahodiyah Hanes, U'Lahosif B'Shevach HaKel V'Hodaya, Alanisim she'asalanu. Indeed, as the Rambam says earlier, laharos, but also legalos esanes. Wish you all a, it's always hard to know how to say this, a simchas Chanukah, as the Rambam says, and a meaningful yimei halel v'hodah v'hadlakas neiros Chanukah. I have to give it back.
What?
I have to give it back.
Well, otherwise, everything you say today will
vanish.
You may have noticed.
If you could give me a copy.
Yes.
Oh. Ooh.
But I think it worked on this.
Could you? I mean, actually, use your analysis. twice they use the modality of a nick as a jump off point for the mitzvah, as opposed to generating a new mitzvah like was done in Purim.
Okay.
Because in essence what they're showing is through divine intervention to allow them to be mekayim in the mitzvah of a hadlachas menorah, that is a divine
intervention.
Point of having both Kabbalah for Omar Pushamayim and Kabbalah for Mitzvah. So by having it,
or to do it in some improper way, that would have been symbolically, so counterproductive that it warranted a mace. And what we celebrate is not just the mace that took place that we didn't have to do that, but the fact that it warranted a mace,
is a
negative reflect that the
same way
that
we
this is an existing mitzvah that it would have been unacceptable not to not have immediate access to it.
Symbolically.
Especially
asbestos at work, but many get it from secondhand exposure by breathing in asbestos from people who are exposed to it on the job. And if you have it, you have legal options that could mean financial security. Call 1-800-455-5559. The law offices of James Sokolov have won millions of dollars for victims of mesothelioma. While the firm maintains joint responsibility, cases of this type are referred to other attorneys for principal responsibility. Attorney Sokolov is admitted in Massachusetts and New York. So if you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now, 1-800-455-5559. That's 1-800-455-5559. Coming up in Business News, there are limits to sending American jobs overseas. WCBS News Time, 10:54.
Now, this is Stu Leonard, and it's amazing what the Atkins diet has done to the beef market. This year, beef is more popular than ever, and it might be hard to find your favorite cut. Our Stu Leonard ranchers in Kansas have guaranteed us plenty of the best beef you can buy. Our customers' favorite cut for the holiday, by far, is Stu's famous whole filet mignon. Each filet serves 8 to 10 people, and they're $8.99 a pound. While our butchers trim your filet for free, you can also pick up our recipe for a picture-perfect filet that's ready in less than 40 minutes. Your friends and family will love it. You can also buy a beautiful rib roast for $7.99 a pound and extra-large cooked shrimp for $11.99 a pound. Visit Stu Leonard's in North...
Stuff I would have left in the middle, but I couldn't.
I need a favor, though.
What?
Can I borrow that? Something Tuesday night.
Yeah, good. I'll give it to you in 2 seconds. Okay, he spoke for an hour and 40 minutes, so I guess what's in here won't be good. And we're going to have to make. Is it off? Yeah.